I am glad to be here. I have this song wrong, but I think I got it. It's always a privilege for me to have an opportunity to preach. I don't get to do it very often, and I'm thankful to be with you guys, and I mean that. I would not rather be anywhere else. This afternoon, I'm going to start in John chapter 1. But if you would, keep your Bible handy because I'm going to be flipping all over the place. I'm going to do a chunk of scripture, then I'm going to talk, then I'm going to do a chunk of flipping. So just be prepared to turn your Bible. I'm going to start by reading four separate verses, four texts in a row. So one text, another text, another text. So you'll be flipping right at the beginning here. But this afternoon, I'm going to talk about the difference between light and dark. And it seems like such a simple topic, but when I really began to dig in, I was mesmerized by the amount of information in the Bible pertaining to what is the difference between light and dark, analogies about the physical, analogies about the spiritual. It is packed. So what I'm going to talk about is like 1/100th of what's in the Bible, and I'm going to just bring out some things, some highlights to think about and talk about. And I hope you can get something from it. John chapter 1, starting in 1, reading 1 through 5 is where I'll begin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He, capital H, He. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, capital L. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Keeping in mind light and dark, the difference of such. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12, and I'm going to read 12 through 16. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12 through 16. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and he settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. John chapter 3. Turn back to John in John chapter 3. Verse 19 through 21, John chapter 3, 19 through 21. I was just having this conversation with my wife. Everybody knows what John 3, 5 and John 3, 16 says, but very rarely do you like keep reading. It's interesting. John chapter 3, 19 through 21 reads like this. This is the judgment that the light, capital L, has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. Last text, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read just one verse. It's verse 5. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. Reads like this. This is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Let's pray. Awesome God, I am really grateful to be amongst the people that you love and that I love. I'm happy to be here, and I'm so thankful to to have your holy word that gives us guidance and directs our hearts and directs our path. And I'm so thankful to be a part of what you've put together as the assembly. And I pray, God, that the things said and done today would bring glory to you and encouragement to the saints. And that, Father God, we would know that you are full of light. You are light. And Father God, we pray that somehow, some way, Father, we would see clearly with our spiritual eyes that we too are light. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Light versus dark. So light's an interesting topic. In science, it really can't, it's weird how they classify it. They classify light as wave particles. As you guys know, I work in the light business. I do LED light design, so you think that I would know a lot of this stuff, but it's weird how much you don't know scientifically about light. You're like, oh yeah, you flip the switch on, it comes on. It's amazing. It's awesome stuff, right? Like, I mean, I know some people are picky enough that aren't in the light business to know the difference of color temperature and the way it looks and things like that, but for the most part, light is really fascinating. I'm going to read you the dictionary definition, which I think is horrific. Something that makes vision possible. That's the Webster definition number one. It's terrible. Here's the scientific definition. It's more technical. It's got a lot of big words. Electromagnetic radiation of any wavelength that travels in a vacuum with a speed of 186,281 miles per second. Specifically, such radiation that is visible to your human eye. That's the technical definition of light. But light's concept is more than that. Do you guys know that what you see as far as light spectrum is only less than 1% of actually the light spectrum? So what you can see is reds and greens and yellows and blues is less than 1% of the entire light spectrum. So I'll give you this. In the spectrum, there are gamma rays. You guys heard that term, right? Probably in some sci-fi movie, gamma ray or something, I don't know. Cosmic rays, ultraviolet rays. Can you guys see ultraviolet? I can't, but there's actually a mutated genetic that where people can see ultraviolet light, believe it or not. It's really bizarre. There is infrared rays and waves, microwaves, and radio waves. And those are all in the light spectrum, believe it or not. I mean, we can't put something in the microwave. We can watch the result of the waves, but we don't see waves inside the microwave. There's a spectrum that we don't see. It's fascinating how we see less than 1% with our physical eyes. God sees it all. And people, though, do they not believe in gamma rays and X-rays and ultraviolet rays? They believe in all those things even though they can't see them. And they typically use that excuse for God, like, oh, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. Well, it's fascinating how light works. So we'll keep talking about this. So today I want to look at light, and I want to look at what it means to us in our culture and in the Bible. And I think it'll be enjoyable. So light in the scripture is mentioned dozens and dozens and dozens of times. The text that I gave you at the beginning is just a snippet that I grabbed. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. I want to start there with light really quick. John chapter 8, verse 12. You guys will be familiar with this text, right? Says this, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I mean, I think we all know that Jesus isn't speaking about physical light. I mean, there's a sun in the sky when he's saying it. Or maybe it was dark, I don't know. But he's not talking about physical light. So when we read the Bible, we oftentimes are going to determine when it uses the term light or it uses the term dark, we're determining whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. And 99% of the time, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual definition. So we're finding out that when they decide to, the writer decides to speak about light or dark, they're speaking about a spiritual position. It's a spiritual position. And why do you think that the Bible would use light and dark so many times in a description of spiritual position? I think we've been jaded. And I'm going to say this because I made a note, 1893, Chicago World Fair. I mean, we flip the light switch on, we get light. It's been pretty awesome for the last 130 years. But what about prior to this? What about prior to light bulbs? I don't think anybody in here, including you, can remember prior to light bulbs. It's close, but it is not here. 1893 Chicago World's Fair. Nikola Tesla wins a bid with Mr. Westinghouse to be able to light the Chicago World's Fair. They bid $490,000 to be able to do it. And President Grover Cleveland gets the opportunity to throw the switch, and he throws the switch, and 100,000 incandescent light bulbs get lit simultaneously for the first time ever. It lights the entire World's Fair. It lights the streets. It lights the street lights. It lights the signs, the food vendors. No one had ever seen anything like it. And all the world was about to change. Because prior to this, it was candles, oil lamps, and gas lamps. That is it. People had fire in their house. From the beginning of time until 1893, actually about 1899 when it became regular, people put fire in their house. Like, I can't even fathom this. Like, yeah, we might have a fire in the fireplace, but like, to have fire around your house, like hanging off of things in the bedroom, like, seems absurd to me. But that's how the whole world lived until 130 years ago. So what did dark really mean to people? Dark to us and dark to them is different. I'll give you an example. In England, from 1940 to 1945, World War II was going on. And England has this decree that goes out by the government of England that all the country will go dark during the night. And what I mean by go dark is they seal the windows, no lights are allowed on, no headlights, no lanterns, no lamps, nothing. Guess how long it lasted? 5 years. They had a dark sky. And they were doing it because German bombers couldn't find landmarks via the light. And so it was dark. And that's in the 40s. So they had electric light by then. No problem. I mean, it was going on. But to live in darkness for 5 years. I mean, it gets winter and I'm depressed. Like, I mean, it gets too dark for too long in the winter and I'm like, I need to get to Myrtle Beach. Like, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna get over there because it's bad. The toll that darkness takes on men, just physical dark takes on people. I think that when we see the definition between dark and light mentioned so many times in the Bible for reference, I think it had such a larger impact on humanity as a whole. Darkness had a huge impact on humanity more than we think. I mean, we go outside in the dark and we have headlights and flashlights and streetlights. And I mean, it's dark, but you know, we drive out in the country and go, oh, it's dark out here while our headlights are shining. Like, I mean, that's the kind of dark that we deal with. But what about prior to light, electric light? I'm going to read an excerpt that was written in the 1800s. Right when gas lamps were being invented. And I think the only reason I'm going to read this is because I think that we need to understand the magnitude of what the Bible's writing about when it's writing about the difference between light and dark and how people saw it before our lucky selves. But I think when I say that darkness is presence was different then, darkness represented something like fear and the unknown and unsurety and danger and evil. It represented all those things. And I want to prove that by reading this text. This was written by a guy from England in the 1800s, right when gas lamps were starting to be installed on the main drag of the city. And I found this online and I thought it was interesting. And it's kind of long, so bear with me, but think about the process of having dark, dark, dark nights before this. No one really knows whether we were born with an instinctive fear of the dark, or if we acquired it gradually as a result of a myriad of awful dangers that emerged after nightfall in our lives. What is certain is that never in human history have we been more afraid of the night than in this period where we've immediately preceded our ability to vanquish the dark. For starters, there were imagined enemies of the darkness. The darkness, pitch black, impenetrable, was a realm of the unknown and the dark. Monsters and ghouls and goblins and dark and evil things lurk in your imagination, whatever your imagination could conjure up. The superstitious crux their thumbs inside their fist or turn their pockets inside out or even their clothes out of superstition from the dark. Then there were real enemies for the night. The night was full of a realm of criminals and vandals and thieves and murderers, gangs of men with the names of such as Mohawks and Scrowers and Hectors. They roam the streets currently, wreaking unimaginable havoc, slashing the faces of pedestrians and misabusing people in a barbarous manner. The nightly purpose of one such gang was to murder the first people they met often. Murder rate per head of the population of the historians estimate this day to be 10 times as high as the murder rate in the past. Dissolute youngsters amuse themselves by hanging dead cats on the homes of honest citizens' doors. They thieve crops and animals, fish from ponds, trees from the garden. All these things are rife this evening. Graves are ransacked, outhouses are pilfered, flimsy dwellings are robbed. These people are night sneaks, intent on burglary and would-be creep into houses, and they emerge during night. The only protection against all these ne'er-doer-wells was the night watch, often a motley collection of these easily corrupted men, universally mocked. In an age of open fire and timber buildings with no running water, fire is an even greater danger, capable of destroying whole neighborhoods here in just hours. Yet despite in many dangers, the night held appeal for everyone. Large number of peoples come up from air that are sent down. It's afforded them a privacy that they do not have during the day. They could no longer be overseen by their superiors. Night was the only great leveler between those who are social order, apprentices, servants, the poor, excluded and underprivileged, could get one escape from the eyes of their masters at night. Employers and oppressors were gone from this darkness of a mask. Those fearful of arrest could move safely under the cover of darkness. I found it fascinating that people wrote about the night in such a dark and evil manner. And we don't often think of it like that. And I think that it was long, and I think that it was necessary, though, to understand the way people felt about darkness. And I think that it is something that gives us a better understanding of the scripture and the comparison of light and dark. Have you ever been in a place where there's zero light? Have you ever been in a place where there's maybe dim light, like a dark alley or a dark parking lot, and you just got the creeps? Like you were just like, this is a shady spot. There's something the dark does to your brain, your imagination. Did you hear that? Like, your imagination runs wild in the dark. It's strange what happens. I don't know if it's our human nature or what it is, but you ever been in a basement with no windows or a cave where it's absolutely pitch black? You literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. There's a certain feeling that goes with that, a certain feeling internally that makes you feel unsure or unsafe. Or even if you're in a safe place and it's black like that, it's go ahead and try to find your way out. There's this unsurety in your gut about the dark. And I think that it's naturally built into us. And I think the Bible, as it defines light and dark, knows that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, as early as what, 3 and 4? Verses 3 and 4, God creates the light. He says, let there be light, right? And he saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the dark, and he called the first one day, right? And the first, second one night. And we know that that's not the sun, because the sun was created in 5 verses down. And there's a debate about what the light is, which is kind of fascinating, but it's separate. There is a difference between the light and the dark. And I don't think it's always the fear that gets you in the dark. It's that uneasy feeling or that lost feeling, and you don't like that. John chapter 1, flip back there where we were. We read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. And I just want to refer to the end of John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word translated is overpower it. The darkness did not overpower it. I think about the room that I was just talking about. You're in a basement with no windows. It's pitch black. No matter where you put a candle, I don't care where you put it. You put it in one corner, the other corner, another room in the basement, you can see the light. It's visible. You can't hide it. It's absolutely seeable. And I think that the references that we get scripture-wise, as we develop our understanding of the light and dark, it's a real encouragement to know that Christ is the light of the world and that we are the light, and that no matter where we sit in such a dark place, they can see us. They can see us. It's undeniable. The light that we have, the light of Christ that shines on us and off of us and from us, is undeniable in such a dark place. Man, if I have any encouragement to you today, remember you're the light, remember you're the difference, remember that the things that you do make a difference, no matter where you sit or where you stand or where you work or where you go, they see you. You're not insignificant. They may make you feel that way, but it's because your deeds and your light expose their darkness. And it's really important that you always feel significant, because you are the only light in the room. It's good to know, and know they notice you. As I told you guys, I work in the lighting industry, and so all day I design buildings for external buildings, internal buildings for LED lighting. And when I train people, there's two training methods that I use. And we teach people that there are two forms of light. The first form of light is light to see things. The second form of light is light to be seen. And that means, for instance, I light a parking lot up, I put a fixture on a pole, I shine that light onto the parking lot, and I do a photometric so that I know wherever on the parking lot you park, you're able to see where you're going and feel safe and see if people are coming near you. That's light to see things. If you see a light that's on the facade of a building and it's not shining on where you're walking, it's shining up on the building and it's lighting the architecture of the building, it's not doing anything for you on the sidewalk. It's showing the beauty of the architecture of the building. It's light to be seen. And that's how we train and operate with people when we're training them. And it's funny to me, it's really interesting to me how the Bible falls right directly, smack dab, into the same kind of communication. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, 105. Psalms 119, 105. This one you guys know. Everybody's heard this text, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Light to see. That's an easy concept. The Holy Word is our light to see. To see what? It's a light unto my path. It's not a physical light. We know it's not a physical light. We've just been talking about that. Let me ask you something. If you're not reading the Holy Word, if you're not understanding the Holy Word, if you're not developing your character via the Holy Word, how can it light your path? How could you expect your path to be the right path? How could you expect to be on the path if you're not working through the process of having the Word light the path? Stay active. Stay steady. Stay reliable. Stay in the Word. It will do its work in you. You know, don't get discouraged. Don't get burned out. Try not to get distracted. Stay the course. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. I told you I'd have you turning a bunch. Almost done. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You guys all know this one too, right? Easy cake. You are the light of the world. Notice it's a lowercase L. You know the difference when you're reading your lowercase L. It's not referring to Christ himself. When it's a uppercase L, it's referring to Christ. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Light to be seen. A light on a hill. A light on a hill way up there, especially in Bible times, isn't lighting your path to see. It's a light to be seen. This is the light to see. You are the light to be seen. That's the difference. Guys, like, I feel like it's really important for us to understand the magnitude of the difference between light and dark, and not just in a simple way, but in a way that God intended it. What I really want to get across today as I wrap up, we have all kinds of physical representations of light, but all through the scripture, you're going to get tons of spiritual pictures. But, you know, isn't everything that God made, everything that he's created, everything that he's spoken to existence, a great, you know, everything that's physical is an example for us somehow in the spiritual realm. Light and darkness is just one piece of a small puzzle that God says, hey, understand me by looking at light and by looking at dark. Hey, understand me by looking at this physical thing. Hey, understand me by looking at that physical thing. Everything that you see with your eyes can be related to spiritual concepts and spiritual guidance if you'll just look. So I just want to encourage you today, if I could, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. We'll finish there. Ephesians 1, 8. I'm sorry, it's 18, not 8. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory of inheritance in the saints. Man, I just want to encourage you. Take a look at the Bible. Take a look at all the times light is mentioned. Decipher what you're looking at spiritually and the difference between light and dark spiritually and physically. And let's be the light. Let's be a light in a really dark place. The world is dark. I don't think anybody can argue that. I mean, I don't have to stand up here and tell you all the bad things in life that the world has to offer you. I just want to be different. I just want to be used for God's purpose in a way that might show the people light. And I just want to encourage you to do the same.